Thank you, Father, that we can worship you. Indeed, what can we render to you as expressions of thanksgiving? Nothing matches with your matchless love. Help us not to struggle or give a second thought about giving our all to you. You've not held back from us. Help us never to hold back on you. In our expressions of praise, worship, and adoration, in our service, in our obedience, with our finances, with all that we have, may we give all to you, for you deserve all the glory, all the praise, all the worship, all the adoration. We ask, Father, that this day will be a day of transformation as we embrace the fullness of your love. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. It's good to have you this wonderful evening. Together we will grow in the things of God. The God we serve is not limited in his capacity, in his ability. Our natural minds our experiences, our disappointments. Make us limit God. But He's not weak. He's not incapable . Today I pray that God will touch us and help us come to that place where we take the limits off of God. Let's take the limits off and just let God be God. I need that in my life, and I know you need that in your life. To take the limits off of God means that we have to live beyond the natural. Natural. The God who lives in you is a supernatural God. He's supernatural. And to diminish Him and make Him natural is to reduce His ability to do whatever He needs to do in our lives. The Bible says that Jesus could not do many great miracles in His hometown. He could not. Not that He would not, He could not. It was not possible for Him to do great miracles. So He healed a headache there. Somebody with a sore back got healed over there. But that was it. But things that were worthy of His power did not happen. And the church today falls into that category. We've not seen the mighty moves of God like we should. But God wants us to make a switch. He wants us to make a switch that says, okay. You know, there's a place where whatever will be works. It's that place where you say, God, okay, do it. And I pray tonight that God will touch us and tweak inside of every one of us, fine-tune us, that we come to that place and say, God, just have your way. Just do your thing. I'm just going to watch you be God. But the amazing thing about it is that God always wants to involve us. That's the amazing thing about God. God wants to involve you and God wants to involve me in whatever it is that He's doing. Not because He needs to, but because He wants to. He wants to. This morning, as we talked about the people of Israel leaving Egypt, in Exodus chapter 14, having defeated all the gods of Egypt, God was going to make sure that everything was properly settled. And even the way He took the Israelites out of Egypt was very strategic. It says, in verse 2, it says, God said to Moses, He said, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi Hahiroth, that they turn. Make a turn. Go by Pi Hahiroth. Pi Hahiroth is the place where the sedge plant grows, some kind of ornamental grass, but very hearty. He says, go by there. He says it's between Migdal, which is a tower, and the sea, and over against Baal Zephon. Baal Zephon means the Lord of the North. Before it, ye shall encamp by the sea. Says, that's where I want you to stay. And the word of God says, Pharaoh heard about these children of Israel, that they were going into a place that was blocked. There was no way out. They're stuck. These guys trying to get out, and they go to a dead end. A dead end? Let's go there. Let's wipe them out. Let's go there and let's get them back here. They are supposed to be our slaves. I promised Moses that the next time I see his face will be the last time. I'm going to kill that guy and I'm going to get rid of the problem. The enemy is always thinking God doesn't know what he's doing. Stuck. The wilderness behind them. The sea in front of them. No way to go. Let's go get them. So they head in that direction. And as they head, the Bible says, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid. How is it that they saw the Egyptians that were following them? Because they looked back. They looked back. And too many times we look back. And one of the statements of the Lord to us is that when you put your hand on the plow, you should not look back. Set your face as a flint and know where you are going, believer, child of God. Stop considering the things of old. God wants to do a new thing. They look back, and when they look back, they saw the Egyptians marching towards them. Oh my. Big trouble. They said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt? That's why you took us out from Egypt to die here in the wilderness? These Egyptians are going to kill us. We are finished. Why did you deal with us like this? Why did you carry us out of Egypt? Why did you take us out of bondage? These were the same people who were crying out to God, whom God heard and sent a deliverer for. Now they are blaming God and blaming Moses. Is not this the word that we said to you? Let us alone, leave us in our problem. At least the devil we know is the devil we know. Now you're introducing us into new things that we have no clue about.
What is this? You've caused me more problems. I was okay. At least I was used to that problem. At least I could earn minimum wage, and at least I had a roof over my head. Nothing fancy, some old Value Village clothes. Now you tell me about the Lord. Now I know the Lord, and now I started talking about Jesus, and even that minimum wage, I don't have it anymore. I got fired. I got fired. Why did you get me to? I thought God is supposed to be my provider. You know, sometimes problems are not what they pretend to be. They are step ups. Maybe because you got fired, you're going to start a new business. Maybe a new story is going to be told. Remember, one of the principles we expressed over and over again is that death has to happen for change to come. Don't lose the impact of death around you. Something has to die and get out of your life. A mentality, a thought process. Something needs to get out of the way so that you can see what God wants to show to you and become something new, something fresh. So here are the Hebrews blaming Moses. And Moses says to the people, "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen, today ye shall see them again no more forever." This is the declaration. "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." God is going to fight for you. Hold your peace. That was what he said in the public hearing of the people. Weren't you glad that God sees the heart? God saw Moses. And while Moses was speaking those languages, those words of faith, Moses was shaking on the inside. He too was scared. But he was not going to show to the rest of the people that he was scared. Because right there in Egypt, when this whole thing started, Pharaoh said, "You guys have so much time in your hand. You have so much time in your hand. That's why you want to go sacrifice and worship. Okay, from now on, no straws are going to be provided. You're going to make the bricks, same quarter, same amount, but you're going to collect the materials yourself. Nobody's going to provide materials for you." And the people are so upset, and they see Moses, and they tell Moses, "You are a problem to us." And Moses goes to God and says, "God, what are you doing? God, what are you doing? I'm becoming more of a problem to these people than they had before. At least before, somebody was bringing stuff to them. Now, nothing." And he's there again. And God says to him, "Moses, why are you crying like the rest of them? Speak unto the children of Israel. Tell them to go forward. You see, Moses, from where he was, said, "Be still. Be still, stop." And God says, "That's where you know, but I have a different plan. Go forward." How are we going to go forward in this cul-de-sac? We're stuck. How are we going to go forward? And God says, "Tell them to go forward." Huh? To where? There's a sea in front of us. Can't you see, God, what I can see? But God sees what you don't see. Because God sees in dimensions. I remember many years ago, God showed me Winnipeg. Do you know that in another dimension, Winnipeg is not the way it is? He took me to the downtown area where the bay is and where the that mall, whatever that mall was called. Do you know why the bay closed down and the mall is not as good as functional? That should be a very busy mall right there. The road does not run the way it runs down Isabel, the way the angle it is right now. The real road in the other dimension runs the other direction. And there is so much corruption in that place. Sometimes things don't line up the way you think they are. God says, go forward, because God knows what he has in front. For his people, that was going to be dry ground. In the natural, it is a sea. But in the realm of the spirit, God sees dry ground for his people. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. The map of God for your life. Is somebody listening? The map and the trajectory of God for your life must be according to that which is in heaven. And it doesn't necessarily have to line up with what is happening in the earth. You have to download that which is in heaven and bring it into this earth realm so that you walk in the direction that God has ordained in the heavenlies for you and for me. Praise the Lord. That's why many times you can dream a dream and you see, for example, Glory and Peace Church, and when you see it, it is packed and overflowing, and there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. But when you come in person, there is in thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. But there comes the day when that which is in heaven is manifested in the earth. And that thousands that you see in the heavenly realm becomes the reality in the earth realm. And it is not because of any amazing thing that you did, but you aligning yourself with what God said already and saying, God, let it be unto me according to thy word. In the natural, it is impossible for me to have a child. But by the realm of grace, in the realm of the Spirit, I am not barren. I am fruitful. Are you with me so far? We're going somewhere. Touch your neighbor and say, we're going somewhere. So, Pastor, what are you saying to us right now? I'm saying, don't just look in the natural. The natural is what it is. It is natural. But before the natural, there is the supernatural which overrides the natural. That's why the word of God will say to you, if you are weak, don't say that because I didn't inbuild weakness into you. Say, I am strong. Say what I say about you. The song we sang, the very first song today, it says, I am whom God says I am. Hallelujah. I'm what God says I am. And I'm saying what God says I am. I'm not poor and broke. I'm rich and wealthy. For in the house of the righteous is wealth and riches. Praise God. And even though my pocket might seem empty, I live in that realm of supernatural provision, which means that at any turn, God somehow, one way or the other, makes it possible for me to cross the limitation of lack. Not because my pocket automatically became full of stuff, my bank account became so fat. No. But because God is well able to do what he says he's going to do. Where you are seated right now, this entire place where you are right now is not based on what we had in our pocket. It's not. We didn't do that. And all of this, and over there with what we had in our pocket. We did it based on the grace of God and the provision of God and downloading stuff by the wisdom of God. God connecting us with who it is that will provide us what we need. Do you know that that screen over there, if you went and you priced it out in the market, that screen over there is over $500,000? And that would be at the cheap end. Not that same quality, not a quality as good as that. Over $500,000. How much did you give last? You think we had that offering? But what did God do? Woke me up. Go online at 3 a.m. Go to this particular website. And I saw all of this stuff. Says, keep on scrolling, keep on scrolling, keep on scrolling, keep on scrolling. No, 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 no. Stop. Call this person. Huh? Call this one. And the one that I called happened to speak in English. We're good friends. Because God knew how to answer. How to bring about the solution that we needed so that I don't have to worry, because he said, it's time to have the screen. I was sitting right there, just about to go up to speak the word of the Lord, and the Lord says, it's time. Raise an offering for the big screen. This is how much you need. And the amount you said we needed, I know that was close to being an impossibility. How are we going to get that kind of money? But do you know what God used to help me that day? You want to know? Anybody here want to know what God used to help me? The first person that came up to give a donation, till this day has not paid it, has not given it. But he came and he put an envelope in here and said he was going to give $10,000. I don't think we've seen $500 of that $10,000 yet. But when I saw that, I said, this is finished, this is done. The first time we moved into this building, there was an offering of $12. $12, and God was saying, go possess that place. $12. But I happened to have 12 people I had picked out to be the search committee. $1 for each one of them. And I said, praise the Lord, it's done. $1 each. Ah, we're going there. And I went and I told the owner of the building, I said, we're moving. You're moving where? I said, there's a building that God showed to me and we're moving there. And the guy said to me, he said, you see the guy who just left right now? I said, yeah. That guy just came and said he's looking for a place for a church. And you want to move, I'm going to give it to him. I said, give it to him. We've not even gotten here. We didn't have the money yet. We didn't have it. But God was working through it. So, Pastor, what are you saying to me? Watch God. Watch God. Have faith in God. God says, go forward. Stop hanging around here. Go forward. Stretch thy rod. Stretch it over the sea. Divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Right in the middle of that sea, they're going to go through dry ground. And behold, I'm going to harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And it will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God then went before the camp of Israel. The name has changed from Hebrews to Israel, because when God wants to move you, he also gives you a name change. Please hear that. When God wants to move you, he also gives you a name change. He did it for Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, Jacob to Israel. Are you with me? Name change. Changes. Says, let me call you from now on who you are called to be. You shall not be known as the Hebrews. You're going to be known as the Israelites. Is somebody listening? Hello? What does that mean? There were 12 tribes. Amalgamated to being one, Israel. And he says to them, the Bible says, the angel went and he went from before them and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And this is what the result was. It says, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, the Egyptians. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. I want you to notice the statement, all the night. So this is something that's happening when? At night. Watch. So Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by strong east wind all that night. Someone say, all that night. Okay. I made the sea dry, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. So they are moving how? Forward. But it is night. Hello? It is night. All night, God is doing what God is doing, dividing the water. And the waters form a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. And they're moving. It is night. They're moving. But they're moving on dry ground. The Bible says the Egyptians pursued and went after them to the midst of the sea. Even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen, they come because that pillar is moving and the people of God are moving. It says, and it came to pass in the morning watch. And it came to pass in the what? Morning watch. So now it is morning. The Lord looked into the hosts of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud and troubled the hosts of the Egyptians. I want you to notice this statement. And it came to pass that in the what? In the morning. In the morning. The Lord looked. So when did he look? In the morning. He looked through and he sees the Egyptians. And God began to untangle them, began to undo the bolts of their chariots. Their wheels begin to fall off. The Bible says they began to drive. It became difficult for them to pursue the Israelites. They were carrying so much weight because there are no wheels. Are we together so far? No wheels, and they're trying to get to the Israelites. The wheels are falling off. The Egyptians say, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighted for them against the Egyptians. Something common is happening. The Israelites are on dry land. What is happening? How are they getting stuck over here? Because things are not exactly the same experience for them as it was for the Israelites. The Israelites are still crossing. And they say, Jehovah is fighting for these people. We better get out of here, like right now. Because we're not going to win this battle. So they try to go out. And the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. And the sea returned to his what? Strength. When what? The morning appeared. Guess what? All this time, while Israel is moving and going ahead, and all the sea was daylight, all the Egyptians had was darkness. Come with me. Did you see that? All they had was what? Darkness. And their day, even though it was a new day, they were still living in the old. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come, Come. They were still living in the old. It was a new day, but they were still living in an old day. Oh, I don't know if you're getting the point. They were still living in the night. But it was a new day. And child of God, for every one of us that are going to step into the fullness of the promise of God, we've got to understand that it's a new day. It's a new day for you. If you're going to move in the dimensions of the grace of God, you've got to understand that it's a new day. It is no longer the old day. The Bible says, everyone who's crucified with Christ, that person becomes a new creation. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you identify with Christ, the old is gone and you are in the new. If you are still living in the old, you're not on the right side of the pillar. Are you hearing? You're not on the right side. The old cannot have so much power over your life when you are on the other side of the pillar. When that pillar, like a good shepherd, is leading you, not just from the front, but from behind. And you're hearing his voice as he guides you. The Bible says, the morning appeared. In other words, God says, oops, you are in the middle of the sea. They thought they were on dry ground, that they were still on the other side of the sea. But they find themselves now in the middle of the sea when God opened their eyes to find out where they were. Do you remember the story of the prophet of God? The enemy keeps on coming and he keeps on exposing them and telling the king of Israel, don't go over there. There's an ambush over there. And don't go over there. And don't go over there. And the king says, who is busy telling the king our problem, our situation, our positions? Who's doing this? Do we have a spy here? He said, no, not a spy. There's a prophet over there. So he says, let's go get the prophet. The prophet that is seeing you before you sneeze, you're going to go capture him, right? And he will not know. So they go, and the prophet's servant is very upset. And the man of God says, God, just open his eyes. Open his eyes. And when his eyes were open, he saw the forces of God, the angels of God, surrounding all the area and surrounding the prophet of God. And when they came looking for him, he said, who are you looking for? So we're looking for blah, 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 blah. So you're in the wrong place. Let me go show you where they are. And takes them and presents them to the king. And the king, then all of a sudden their eyes open. And the king wants to say, leave them alone. Don't mess with them. Leave them alone. You're nobodies. That's what's going to happen to the body of Christ. When you live dimensionally, what you're looking at is not exactly what you're looking at.
There's got to be a tweak, a change. Because this is the realm of miracles, where you can see five loaves and two fishes, and you see the thousands, and you think you can feed them all with the five loaves and two fishes. And then come out on the other side after feeding everybody with 12 baskets. This is dimensional living. This is the place of recognizing that God takes my little and makes it much. God help us all. God help me. God help you. God help the church to recognize that there is more to us than we think. That the God that we serve is not a dead God. He is alive. He is faithful. He is awesome in all of his ways. And he can do extraordinary things, doing exceedingly far beyond anything we dare ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Challenges? Oh, yeah. But there is an overriding God. If God doesn't do something in your life, it's not because he's incapable of. Sometimes it's because we don't believe. Sometimes it's because he has a greater idea. Something else that he wants to accomplish. And if he's willing to give his son, he will give anything for his greater purpose. So here they are. It says, when the morning appeared, it has been morning. It's been morning for a while already. But now the morning appeared. Just poof, it's morning. And now they see themselves. Ah, but it's too late. It says, and the Egyptians fled against it. They fled against it. They fled against it. What is the it? Huh? What is the it? They're fleeing from recognizing that our goose is cooked. We are messed up. There is a sea here, and we are right in the midst of the sea. Oh, I'm about to say something to you that's going to shock you. Are you ready for this? The Bible says they sank. How can you sink when you're on dry ground? Listen. Because God is extraordinary. Let's read a little bit further, and then I'll show you something in verse 15. It says, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. All of them were wiped out. Next verse. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. So two things are happening at the same time. The Egyptians have been buried, but the children of Israel are still walking on dry land. Hello? Oh, did you see what I just read to you? But the children walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. The sea is closing up, not just because of the fact that Moses and the rest of them were
on the other side, like the Ten Commandments. I mean, if you watch the movie, The Ten Commandments, and they're on the other side, and then he stretched his hand. No, they were still inside the land, still crossing. Still crossing. They are on dry ground, and Moses turns around and goes like this. And water starts closing up on them over there. But the miracle of dry ground was still happening for the believers. Two different experiences in the same sphere. I don't know if you're hearing what I'm saying to you tonight. I'm saying that you can be in this economy and things can be going well for you and things can be going wrong on the other side. He did it at Goshen. Goshen had light. Goshen did not have flies. Goshen had all the amazing experience. Their livestock did not die. But over on this side, everything was dying. You cannot look at your life and think, the way the world goes, that's the way it's going to go for me. That is not our thinking. That is no longer our thinking. We are not going to think that way anymore. We are going to think and know that we serve a living God. We are not of this world while we are in this world. Do you understand what that means? You're not of it while you are in it. Do you understand Jesus, our Lord, said to Nicodemus, no one ascended into heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. I'm in heaven right now, even though I'm here. Do you recognize that the Lord God Almighty says in his word that you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus while you are here? That is two different dimensions. God wants us to take a hold of his word and say, God, whatever it is that you need to do so that I can live in that realm of the supernatural, help me be that in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise God. You are not of this world, and so the judgment of this world does not have any relationship with you. Amen. We have a different broadcast. We have a different news alert. We are not restating what the world is stating. We're declaring the goodness of God. The children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. Notice it says, in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. Let me begin to wrap by taking you to chapter 15. In chapter 15, it says, Moses and the children of Israel began to sing unto the Lord, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he had triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider had he thrown into the sea. Why is that important? Because the word of God tells us Firstly, in Exodus 19 and verse 4, I'll come back to 15. In Exodus 19 and verse 4, it says, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bore you," watch this, "on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." God's perspective is, while you thought you were walking on dry ground, and that you did, really, I was carrying you on eagle's wings. But those Egyptians, I hauled them. I threw them into the sea. I threw them into the sea. It's not like they just rode. And, well, in one dimension, they are riding. But in another dimension, what really was happening was God threw them in there. So in one dimension, they were seeing something. In another dimension, something else was happening that brought about this reality. You got that? Back to 15. "The Lord is my strength and song, and he's become my salvation. He's my God, and I'll prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war." The Lord is his name. Hear this. "Pharaoh's chariots and his host had he cast, had he cast. He's repeating it. "He cast them into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank." They what? "Sank into the bottom as a stone." They sank. They were never on dry ground. I'm going to say something right now that is just sounds very crazy. The illusion that God created for them was so extraordinary. They were operating in what seemed to be miraculous. Pharaoh and his forces. I want you to remember the statement, they sank like a stone. I believe that if we were to look at the situation the way from God's perspective, that those suckers, while in the dark, were actually, while God has separated the land, separated the sea for the Israelites, they were actually in the dark riding on top of water. And Pharaoh and his forces think that their God, Pharaoh himself, I'm sure they were saying, "Oh, Pharaoh, look at the miracle you are doing. Look at us. Wow." But in the midst of the water that they are riding on, their wheels are falling off. They don't understand what is happening. There's confusion. And this, hear me, this is a confusion that is going to hit the world, because on one dimension, they think they're winning, that they are riding and nothing is going to stop them, and they are above and you are beneath, and they can capture you and they can do whatever, but God is unraveling the wheels. And I want you to watch what is going to happen, and it's already started happening in our world. The wheels are being taken off. Those that decided to come against the church of Jesus Christ, the true church, I'm not talking about the fake one, the true church, are about to experience the move of God's power in a way that they've not seen it before. And by the time they find out that they have climbed up the wrong tree, it will be too late. What you and I need to do is get to know God better. Amen? Know God, our Creator, that He is the mighty God of war. Amen? The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Buried. Down, down, down. Once on top, now all the way going down. When I look in the natural, I listen to what is happening on the news. It's so easy to give up. When I look at the body of Christ, it's so easy to give up. But when I look at God, I understand that God goes beyond my weakness when He has set up His mind to do something. He says, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do. It doesn't matter anymore. This is what is going to happen now. And God is saying the same thing in these last days. This is what's going to happen now. I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail over my church. I'm going to reveal myself to you like never before. Even before you cry out, I would hear you. Amen? Because He's doing a new thing. Hallelujah. Some say, God is doing a new thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 6 says, Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of Thine excellency, Thou hast overthrown them that rose up against Thee. Thou sentest forth Thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. He says, and with the blast of Thy nostrils, at the blast of Thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. It was congealed. It's like ice on both sides, congealed. Why? Because of the blast from the nostrils of God. Wall. It's like ice, dry ground. Thaw. Boom. In an instant. Even my granddaughter was telling me the other day, ice is the same thing as water. Just ice is cold. And if you want to get water from ice, you have to wait for some hours. Then it will become water. Then you can drink it. I'm listening to her. But not with God. That which was congealed. You know what congealed means, right? Yeah, that means it's not liquid anymore. It's hardened. How does that turn
in a moment. And because time is your problem. Time is my problem. But it's not God's problem. He's timeless. Whatever it is he wants is what he gets. Let me wrap. Let me take you to verse 19. He says, the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the what? Into the sea. And the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Two things. Dry ground for them. But over here, it is sinking. My dad used to say something to me, I think it's Shakespearean. Those that the gods want to destroy, they make first of all fools. But it's true. The enemy of your soul has no fighting chance against you. But you've got to move in the dimensions of God and see yourself from a different place by just simply agreeing with God, by recognizing there are two things happening, three things, four things, five things, all happening at the same time. Make the right decision. But always speak the side of God. So I place before you life and death. I tell you what you should do, choose life. Amen? Don't choose fear, choose faith. Don't choose doubt. Choose believing. Don't choose hate and apathy. Choose love. Don't choose unforgiveness. Choose forgiveness. Recognize that God says, the battle is mine. Trust him. It may take long, but he does everything right. God will never trip. If I can put it in human sense, he knows how to tie his shoelaces completely so that it is not dragging and tripping over himself. He starts, he completes. And the God who has started this good work in you will complete what he started. Don't give up on yourself and think, I will never be able to make it. Just rest in the goodness of God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Rise with me. Father, we're excited about the realities that we find in you. That you are taking care of all strongholds. For your word says that except you first bind a strong man, you cannot spoil his house. We're asking, O God, for grace to identify the strong man in every area of our lives and in our community. And we, Father, in the authority of your name, the name of Jesus Christ that you have authorized us to use, we declare over our lives, over our families, over our community, over our city, over our province,
over our country, over our continent, over the world, that there be an eradication of that which is standing in the way of your glory being revealed in us. Lord, O God, let the spiritual airways be cleared of all garbage, of all things that do not belong. And may there be an infusion, an anointing, Lord, O God, that destroys yokes and removes burdens. The battle is yours. Lord, win for us. You said, "By the people that know God are great and they will do exploits." But we receive with confidence your word in John 14, where you said that we know God. And therefore, we, receiving that word, move by that anointing that you have given to us to see strongholds destroyed and lives transformed, minds renewed. Start with us, Father. Start with us. Start with us. Start with me. You say the same thing for yourself. Start with me. And help me be everything you say I am in the realm of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for it is so. For we ask it in Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name. Amen. Praise the Lord. A dear sister shared with me this afternoon after the service, because I was sharing earlier today about living in dimensions as I was coming to the church early this morning, how I saw a car, but there was no car. And she says to me, you know, I had a very interesting experience many years ago, and I've been scared to talk about it until now. So what was it? So I was driving, and the road was clear, and there was a bus, and I decided to change lanes. And when my left side was clear, and when I turned, there was a truck in there. He says, but I went through the truck. Yeah. You're going to be experiencing things like that. The truck is there, but I just went through it. No accident. God opened her eyes at that particular moment. She did not know why then. Because God is bringing you and I to that place where we start seeing things from a different perspective. At this time, if there's anyone here who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and you want to give your life to God, just raise your right hand. I'd love to pray with you, because the first step to living in this realm is asking Jesus, the living God, to come into your heart, to be your Lord and your Savior. When you have Him, you have eternal life. Is there anyone that needs a prayer today to ask Jesus into their lives? Okay, now we'll take it that everyone here has asked the Lord. And if so, may God continue to lead you and guide you. But if you haven't, if you are on the other side of this screen, just say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. Save me. And make me a new creation for your glory. Amen. At this time, let us honor God with our giving.
come as quickly as you can. Obey God with your giving. And may the Lord multiply your seed sown. May God speak over your offering and enlarge your coast for his glory and honor. Next Sunday is the luncheon. On the 9th is the movie night, is it? On the 9th is movie night. 6 o'clock, is it? Or 6 o'clock? But on the 10th also, we're going to have another movie. That'll be in the evening after the luncheon. I want you to invite your friends. It's not going to be, the movie's about 2 hours, but I don't think I'm going to speak for more than 15, 20 minutes. So I want you to invite your friends, your neighbors. I want them to hear what the Lord wants to say to them as we experience that movie together. And then on the 17th, we have the service. And then in the evening, we have the concert. We have our prison worship band. We have our Christian education youth ministry choir or team doing different things. And then we have Bumi Praise. It's going to be an exciting evening that covers those evenings. And that particular one is going to start at 6:30. That's on the 10th. We'll start at 6:30. And I encourage you to come and participate in that movie night also. Then on Christmas Day is on the 25th, Monday. So Christmas Eve service is going to be our main service in the morning. There is not going to be an evening service on the 24th. Just the morning. Okay? Same time. And we look forward to having you. And then, of course, we're going to have our New Year's Eve service. That one will start later in the evening. We're going to start at 9:30. 9:30. What time did I say? 9:30. It's going to be a time of just embracing what God is saying to us for the new year. And we'll cross over together into 2024. Remember the word the Lord has already given to us. The two key words. Does anyone remember? I ministered that word to us at Rosh Hashanah. Anyone remember it? If you remember it, say it. You don't. I knew it. Okay, year of rest. Okay. Let me say it again. Remember me. Now you remember. It's so simple. Lord, remember me. So you've not been praying that. But anyway, we're going to expand on that thought, that word of the Lord, what God is saying to us. So that will be it. Amen? So that's going to be that. And then January 18th, we're going to be having a crusade up north. Please be praying about these things. Amen? And we're going to see lives change in God's River, God's Lake Narrows, Oxford House, Island Lakes. All of those communities are going to come together to God's River to hear the word of God. We're going to have 3 days there. Pray about it. Give towards it. Let's expect God to do amazing things. Amen? God bless you. I love you. I celebrate you. I rejoice with God about your testimony. Have a good night. See you on Wednesday. Oh, by the way, there are some airborne